Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Deep Thoughts. As I set up here in the garage on this rainy day, I'm talking in a weird cadence because I'm also trying to multitask my brain to draw a nice halo of fire on this punch stick here. As the neighbors watch the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl Sunday, and yours truly could give a fuck. I mean, how many fucking times do you need to see the Patriots in that fucking game? Should just call it the Patriot Bowl. Who's going to play the Patriots this year? But we do have the LA Rams there, so that's where my loyalties lie. A team made up of people who aren't from Los Angeles will be my total rooting favorite. All right. Today's episode comes from me to you. I'm calling it the test of man. And what does that mean? Well, it has to do with this idea that the evilest people who have ever been created on this planet tend to have the skill set to rise to a position of absolute power. Now, having said that, we do have the burden of the king? Which is whoever becomes king will be vilified, hated, despised, because the king's hubris and the entire position of its definition is one of you're responsible for fixing everything for everyone. And the second you can't do that, well, then you're an asshole. Right, so no king and no queen could ever solve all the problems for everybody. Because some problems you own, personally. No one's there to save you. Of course, the king understands that, but they never have the intelligence to outwardly communicate such a thing. But having said that, again, we have some evil people. But I want to parse what I mean by evil because there's probably some circumstances where these individuals would look at me and say, "We're not evil, you dumbass. People are sheep. People are cattle. People are worthless. People are lazy. And they tend to congregate and then they don't like us." And I would say, then don't take the fucking job. Don't make the position because that's not exactly true. If your people are lazy, they lack vision. It's just simple. They lack vision. What do I mean by vision? Well, something that's attainable within their circle that you could educate them by increasing the standards of education within your country, within your nation, region. You could pass on any wisdom that you have instead of coveting the shit. Giving everyone the power of self-governance. You don't have to tell someone what to fucking do. Right now, if you have a bunch of buffoons because you just are all climbing out of some cave from somewhere and one of you is ahead of all the rest, then you know that the only thing you can do, or the best thing you could do, is to teach them what you know instead of trying to police them with fucking big clubs to do what you want them to do. The elite are absolutely fucking terrified of overpopulation, but they won't take the tack that education, not indoctrination to fucking identify as a goddamn, you know, water lily instead of a human being, right? They want to keep their power structure over you by never telling you the complete truth. And that's reprehensible. Now, what is test of man all about? Well, it would seem that we have been put here. Quite intentionally. Either we have been put here by an alien being around the time of the missing link, or we have been put here by a divine creator. We also may have been put here simply by a bunch of computer programmers, which is what was alluded to in the movie Tron in 1982 towards the third act, when Tron and Yuri and Flynn were all on the Solar Sailor. And he just diverted power with his hands. He put one arm in, and he diverted so they could make a jump. And he says, well, how did you do that? You know, like, you should be dead. And he goes, the power of, a beam of energy can always be diverted. Elementary, physics or whatever he said. And he goes, I'm what you guys call a user, meaning he's one of us, right? He went down into the computer. That's the best thing about that fucking movie, is the user metaphor. Yeah, what's Tron say? I'm going to pity any of you guys didn't get to grow up with this film because, God damn it, it changed my whole fucking thinking about everything. This one line that I'm about to share. He goes, well, if you're a user, then this was all according to a plan. And Jeff Bridges looks at him like, you wish, you know? And Tron's looking at him like, well, isn't that true? I mean, Christ, if you have the power to create our world, isn't this all according to a plan? Why would your infinite intelligence to create everything that we see somehow subdue, right? So that's us, potentially, with our creator, right? We believe that God is like so amazingly omnipotent and brilliant that every single thing is according to a plan. But now here's the thing. Even if Earth wasn't created specifically, right? God just pushes an algorithm, generates a bunch of random planets, generates a bunch of random beings. Now what you end up calling the fucking place, well, that's just us waking up and going, Earth, you know. It's not his choice necessarily, right? Okay. But now you let it simmer. You let this whole little formula simmer. And you find out that sort of the scumbags of your algorithm, which may not be scumbags in the eye of God, they get in there and they fucking ascend to power. And they control shit. They fucking put, one, they invent vaccinations and they put them in our fucking kids, right? Unbelievable. But they start wars. They get us all fighting each other. Now, here's the thing. What if our creator is looking for an aggressive gene, right? In the show Star Trek, especially in the Star Trek Enterprise with Scott Bakula and company, they invented this race called the Zindi, which is actually a bunch of races together, as I remember. Actually, let me backtrack, because there's actually a better example. I apologize. Deep Space Nine, Odoo. They had this, Odoo was a shapeshifter, and the race that actually ran the galaxy was his race, which he had never met. And they had actually engineered, I believe, this other race with this milk that had to be ingested, otherwise they'd feel pain. But anyway, the Predator race is also supposed to have engineered the alien race, right? There's this sick idea that, you know, someone wants to create a very aggressive soldier. But now, someone with the wherewithal to genetically engineer something wouldn't just drop us off and leave, right? Maybe they created it and then they left, and then it's like, well, whatever, that's just, you know, that's just now fodder for the universe to eat up. Maybe they live, maybe they don't. We'll see what happens. We don't care. We came, we got what we want, we're out of here, right? Other theories of man's creation have to do with sort of like your alien participation. You know, the Egyptians might have come down and they were the actual individuals from the stars. And so they just start to populate with their own race. There's no intermingling with any of the hominids. They just are able to do it because it's congruent with their biped configuration. Maybe there's a secondary race like the Greys that engineer couple genetics together themselves with the hominids, and they get the Homo sapiens sapien. It would appear that the oldest recorded history is the African, what you would call black race. We know that when blacks procreate for an infinite amount of time, they will create an albino black, which then passes for what we now call white people. And I only had one listener who actually was a minority. She was half, I believe, Latino, half Native American, who wanted to be identified as white, who absolutely hated that statement that albino black people turn into white people. You could have a bunch of white people have babies and they'll never have a black child. So there's a good lineage that represents where we are. But the test of man is about the notion that somehow all of these evil people have been allowed to get the power, which I don't necessarily absolutely believe the way I'm saying this, but to test the integrity of man himself. And I say him in a bi-gender way, so don't get all butthurt. That's to the new listeners. But the idea is, do you have what it takes to fight opposition? Because think about it. Would you want to be in a house with a bunch of lazy, complicit people who have an excuse why they can't do anything ever? Hey, you should make your business more successful. Lazy. I'm lazy. Well, you should stop what you're doing since you seem to hate it so fucking much because you complain about it so much. You should go do something else. Whatever. I know these people. Unfucking believable how they live their lives and they just sit and they're just negative constantly. And you're just like, ah, damn, fuck. I've cut my own bloodline out of my fucking life from the shit like that. When you're a parent and you have a kid, you want to see your kid get out there and kick some ass, right? They don't have to do what you want them to do. They don't have to make as much money as somebody else or anything like that. That's not what we're talking about here. But you want to see them be clever, you know, be like, oh man, you made it through college. That's cool. Doesn't have to be college, but you made it through some schooling and you got that job that you wanted. That's awesome. And you had to fight for it because there was a lot of folks going for that job and you made it. Cool. You know, power to the people that you knocked out of the ring. Maybe they get it next time around or they find something else that they love. But there's this interesting thing of how do you build up muscle in the human body? Well, you tear it by challenging it and then you repair it. And when it repairs more muscle in the tear and you get bigger. That's how you get stronger. All right. The kid who's an 18-year-old who's been a stockman for 2 years at some convenience store of some sort, and then he goes into the Marines, he's going to do way better than the kid who's been sitting at Starbucks getting his free internet to play World of Warcraft, right? That kid's going to hurl a lung and potentially die jogging down the street. There was this BlizzCon they had where a big fat kid got up and he was trying to do the undead dance, which is this crazy heavy metal headbanger jump up and down thing. And he jumps up and down and he breaks his fucking leg. The bone between your knee and your ankle, right? Just breaks that son of a bitch right in half. And all I could think of was fluoride. It gives you osteoporosis, right? It infects your bone marrow with fucking aluminum dust. But this kid, he also just weighs so goddamn much. He broke his leg jumping up and down. Holy fuck, what's wrong with our nation? He's not passing the test of physicality at least, right? Just saddens my soul, man. What if our creator was testing us? What if the creator's like, all right, guys, you know, I let you have the 1975 to 1991 reprieve in this world, minus the British trying to grab the Falkland Islands. Why the fuck you would fight for that place, I don't know. But America lived a pretty goddamn good life. I mean, we had disco and rap and metal music. We had, rock and roll initially, and then it became glam metal, and then it became heavy metal, thrash metal, rap got into gangster rap from classic rap, and we just had a good world until grunge came around and took a shit on everything, right? And more so the socialist idea of just living like fucking peasants when you're privileged white kids just makes me want to fucking hurl. So God says, hey, I'm going to let this place go dark. In fact, I'm going to help people come up with this goddamn idea that my music should be negative. All those uplifting major keys, all gone. It's going to go super minor key. And you're going to be me in the corner kind of bullshit, right? nothing uplifting. Black people are going to be turned into their own nemesis by promoting bitches are, you know, women are bitches and hoes. Do tons of fucking weed. You know, when you're on bottom, why not just stay on bottom, right? Now, again, there's great things that come out of all suffering in terms of music that you're like, oh, that's a great song. But I got to listen to the music while being on top in the 90s, right? So if I listen to, you know, Sipping on Gin and Juice and all that shit, and it's like, well, I'm on top making more money than my parents, so I'm okay. I could even smoke a bowl every day if I wanted to, and I'd still be on top for a little while until the bowl finally rotted my fucking brain, but whatever. World War I was a bunch of bullshit. They knock off this guy, Franz Ferdinand, who again was an absolute idiot. He drove past his assassins who were going to bomb him. And then he drops off his wife, comes back because his buddy got hit in the first attack. And so he drives back to visit his buddy at the hospital. And one of the assassins saw him and blew his brains out. But that supposedly pisses everybody off to have a world war. I don't think so. It was a way for everyone to borrow money against fiat currency owned by the, you know, Rothschild Pesuer Empire. World War II, well, they built up Hitler from scratch to protect Europe from Stalin, who was threatening to roll over France, where all the bankers were, which is why Paris just surrendered to Hitler. When the Americans wouldn't get into it, well, they orchestrated this false flag called Pearl Harbor. Japanese bomb us. They definitely did some major damage, and God bless the souls that suffered that day. But they strategically had it bombed in a way that had they flown a little bit further inland, they would have knocked out all of our shipyards, repair facilities, submarines, and a bunch of other stuff. We would have been in really bad condition. But they didn't. Now we're in the war, borrowing money. When that was over, well, we got a little bit of a reprieve, right? For about 6 years until the Korean War starts. The police, it's not a Korean War, it's a Korean police action. And then we're over there for 4 or 5 years. Just invading sovereign land under the guise of fighting communism. After we got out of that, well, back into Vietnam. Repeat the same exact bullshit going on in Korea, but in a different country for the same ludicrous reasons. By 75, it's all over. And again, we get a 15-year reprieve until Saddam Hussein asks the State Department permission to invade Kuwait. The State Department says, go for it, Mr. CIA agent, and he invades them. And then all of a sudden, Saudi Arabia says, what the fuck did you do telling that guy he could go into Kuwait? You know where he's going next, right over us. And so we asked him to get out, and he's like, hey, dude, I asked permission. I'm fucking embedded. And so we went over and did a light attack on him, which is not to go into Baghdad. You have the highway to hell, where all these people died. A-10 warthogs just fucking mowing down people. Then everything's pretty cool. The internet's blowing up. Bill Clinton's raping people and playing saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show. 2001. Poof. Reality gets absolutely fucking shattered. We still think to this day that we need fucking terrorist protection in airports, which is a crock of shit. We've lost all of our goddamn freedoms. We're completely eavesdropped on. The only one that we don't have terrible problems with is probably the first three amendments, or first three, Bill of Rights. So the freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, and the right to not house soldiers in our house, right? Everything else has gone to shit. The Mueller invasion of, you know, Trump's attorney at the Trump Towers. There's no client attorney privilege that's being honored by the President of the United States, right? Or the Senate, right? They're just allowing our fucking rights to be eroded. Communications companies are forced to eavesdrop on us and give all the information to the NSA. Now, there might be a technicality. Again, I think we're trusting the NSA a lot more than we used to, but technically it could simply be by taking a copy of all the communications in the world and never looking at it, you're not violating the Fourth Amendment. You have to get a FISA warrant to look inside, and therefore we maintain our, basically our Fourth Amendment. I think that's the way it works, and therefore I think we're okay. But I think there are algorithms that are searching the gathered data to look for trends. The test of man. Are all these pedophiles and child traffickers all over the world to test man? To see if we will stand up? We've got a religious institution called the Catholic Church, which is the single most organized and protected pedophilia human trafficking organization on planet Earth, and the Italians sit there like nothing's fucking happening. I mean, isn't that fucking unreal? Believe me, you touch an Italian mobster's kid, the level of destruction that will happen to your family and to you will be as intense as humans can conceive. But you look at this Vatican place and you're like, wait a minute. That place is utterly packed with child touchers. The current Pope, as of 2019, comes from Argentina. His fucking church down there is absolutely packed to the brim with these motherfuckers touching kids. So they organize a flight. So all these people come up from Argentina and they fly through Cuba and they fucking shoot that plane down, killing 13 people from his little diocese or whatever the hell you call his little pedophile ring down there. And it's like, poof, poof. Well, they're all dead now. You know, they got the ultimate punishment. So in a way, we served them. But I'm sure there's some guys down there that were in the plane. They were like, fuck, I didn't touch anybody but myself. What would the test entail? All right. Well, there's pedophiles all over Hollywood. There's not necessarily pedophiles, but then there's people that just force themselves on people. But we're so disappointed that the people that we worship might be involved with this kind of stuff that we tend to go, well, you can't because it's Tom Hanks, you know. And the girl on Twitter that said that Tom Hanks bought her at the age of 13 from her father, who has 65,000 followers, if not more by now. It's probably an 8-month-old statistic. Why isn't she being sued for defamation? That's a horrible, horrible accusation. If Tom Hanks has nothing to do with her, then I would personally want him to be exonerated from such an accusation. And then you look at his Instagram, Twitter feed, and it's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen in your life. Joe Biden is on camera. Look up Creepy Joe Biden on YouTube. The guy is pinching the breasts of children. He is putting his junk against kids right on camera. He was involved with a lot of swearing in ceremonies, a lot of visits to the White House, and he would take the girls from age, I mean, old enough to stand up on their own. He'd start there, and he'd go all the way up to kids that are probably about 16, 17 years old. And during a swearing-in ceremony for the kid's father, the girl wants to sit between her mother and her father on the other side of the mom, and Biden will grab her arm hard. You can see it on her face, like, Jesus Christ, you know. And he pulls her. But before he does it, he reaches into his pants and adjusts his fucking junk. And then he pulls her over. And then he stands there with her hanging arm and her left arm. He's trying to put his dick on her left arm inside his pants. And you can see this girl, who should be paying attention to the ceremony to her right, where her father's being sworn in for some reason, senator or whatever. And she will hold her arm, her left arm, way, way away from him because she feels the bump. This guy has grabbed the little boobs of tiny little girls, training bras. You can even see the training bra underneath the blouse of the little girl. And Joe Biden's little hand goes down. He's also got his hand going through their hair. And he's whispering to her. And you see Jeff Sessions swat his hand at one point. They all know he's a fucking pedophile. But he's talking shit about Trump. I think you see the dark, and I think you see the light. The dark always slams the light. De Niro makes Kate Fear. What's Kate Fear about? Molesting a little girl. That's what the movie's about. He got a fucking problem finding other scripts? I don't think so. But no, he plays one of these creepy fucking pedophiles and then talks shit about Trump while hanging out with the spirit cooking lady. Democrats just tried to pass a goddamn abortion law that says you can kill a fucking child all the way up to 9 months. some of the reasons submitted to their committee was, well, can a woman choose not to have a child because it's going to make her vagina loose? Yes. Can a woman choose to do this simply because the child's got Down syndrome? Yes. Any excuse. Any excuse, as the head is crowning through the vagina, that doctor can go through a 2-hour procedure to kill that child. The test of man is here, my people. I don't mean to sound like some goddamn religious nut, but even if God doesn't exist, come on, folks, we're being tested here. We are being tested. We're being tested by people that think that we're too goddamn stupid to stand up for our own. Again, Democrats all live in these gated communities with huge iron fences / cement fences around their homes, but they don't want a border on the south side of the Americas, because all of the politicians in those states, the rumor is that they've all been put there by the cartels / alphabet agencies, and if they allow a wall to be constructed on the state that they are part of, California, Nevada, Arizona, and Texas, that they'll be murdered. Unbelievable. I'm not sure I believe that, but there's got to be a reason why, aside from importing voters. You can't import enough people to really sway the vote, to be honest, in my opinion. Not yet. The Mexicans I talk to in my county here, they're for a border. They're like, yeah, we don't want a bunch of people coming up taking our jobs either, because they're going to come for our jobs. We mow lawns, and they're going to mow lawns too. We work as, you know, short order cooks. They're going to become short order cooks. We want to keep our jobs. Plus, usually, as long as the immigrants can understand who is lying to them, they will always side with the person who's telling the truth. So let's look at the Democratic Party for a split second. And there's evil on both sides of the fence, but it's being cleaned out at such a rapid pace by the Trump administration. Everyone has been served little paperwork. And I'll give you a Republican, Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan helped organize ISIS with Hillary, John McCain, Obama. He was photographed with one of these ISIS operatives after being selected by John McCain. Look up John McCain with ISIS in Google and hit images, and you'll see the complete traitor that motherfucker was. And then look up John McCain forestall accident, which was an accident, but he got 165 of his own Air Force / Navy folks killed and wasn't even in the report of it occurring, because his daddy and his granddaddy were Navy admirals, and they said, don't let my grandson / son be in the report. So the guy causes the death by wet starting his jet, which shook the jet so much a missile fell off, flew across the aircraft carrier, ran in, you know, slams into some other plane, setting off a bunch of bombs over there. 18 people remain missing. I don't even know where their bodies were. John heroically pops the capsule lid on his jet, rolls down, jumps 10 feet down, and rolls through the fire because he's such a fucking hero, and then goes downstairs, helps push a few ammunition rigs off the side of the boat, and then he gets tired of that, and he goes into the officers' club and watches the fire from in there while all of his buddies are dying. That's why the Navy called him No Name. And then he gets shot down. All of his injuries were from his getting shot down, not from being tortured. Gives up all of our positions, all of our numbers, all of our strategies to the Viet Cong. And yet he was allowed to be celebrated as a hero. There are real heroes that we should be worshiping. Or not worshiping, but celebrating, honoring. He's not one of them. His daughter later tweeted after he died, you know, something to the effect of, I love you, Daddy, wherever you are. Well, let's hope he's in a hole in Gitmo. The Q phenomenon, the QAnon phenomenon, is just so amazingly interesting. You know, for me, the verdict's still out on Q. It does seem like he has a proxy to Donald Trump due to his tip-top, tippy-top comment. I mean, come on. Either the Trump administration is watching the Q post and having fun with it, or he is involved. He even predicted with the damn photograph the exact fucking hotel in Singapore where Trump was going to go visit Kim Jong-un. Like 2 weeks before it happened. He predicts John McCain's death not only to the fucking day, but to the goddamn minute, 4:28 p.m., unless someone messed with the clocks. Which I don't think is possible because the second Q posts, it's screen captured. And even if you could mess with the hour by taking it, you know, different time zones, pictures in different time zones, the thing is one, the server has its own time zone that posts and becomes fixed. But you got the minutes right, 4:28 p.m., and who the hell ever reports someone's exact time of death, perhaps, besides perhaps a person who was executed in a prison, you know, getting lethal injection. But I would bet that if I had a doctor right here from a prison institution, I go, if you had to really predict the minute that the chemicals killed the guy, could you really know, you know, without a stethoscope just right on his chest, you know, hearing the heartbeat fail or having a machine that doesn't ping anymore? So what would be the priority of man being tested? Because we're being tested on multiple levels, aren't we? I don't actually know, because I haven't put a tremendous amount of thought into this, which one is more urgent. It seems that there are several agendas that are as urgent as others. Child trafficking, child pedophilia, I think has to be one of the tip-top things that we go after. We have to protect our children. Which means the Catholic Church has to be disbanded and disowned by every nation on planet Earth. Their land has to be taxed. I think all their monies have to be seized. I think the church has to be forced to cease to exist just simply due to the pedophilia that is all over the place. I think the place needs to be fucking raided. Like every goddamn church, Catholic Church on planet Earth, needs to be raided by the top authorities of that country. And all of the information, every fucking whereabouts of every single fucking Catholic priest, nun, has to be inspected. I think every single claim against the church has to be inspected against whereabouts of these individuals. And I think that the victims need to have reparations in proportion to their suffering that is drawn out of the treasures of the church. If nothing else, if they run off and hide all their fucking treasures, then one, we need to put them all in fucking Gitmo until we figure out where that shit is. But if nothing else, we sell the land. We sell everything. We get rid of that scourge on the fucking face of the planet. And then we move down to all the derivatives of Christianity till we find who's doing what, where, and how. Because it seems that preachers are just goddamn pedophiles. You know, again, my youth minister, a guy named Mark McDowell, was busted at Pepperdine University, put in handcuffs, sentenced to 2 years in prison, denied everything, but had five charges. And the word sodomy came up in his charges. They're fucking everywhere. And they get off like nothing happened, man, half the time, right? Because the judges or something have some sympathy fucking bone for these people. I don't know how it works, man. Now, every circumstance is different. Again, I had a friend in high school. He was 17, his girlfriend was 16, I think. Then he crossed the 18 barrier, and they were 6 months apart in age. And so she was 17 and a half, he was 18, but her father was a sheriff in some county, neighboring county to my county, and he got put in jail for underage sex because the sheriff knew how to file the paperwork and knew that he was older. And she didn't have parental consent, which I think... My hometown, there was a girl, again, I've said it once before, a girl was 14 years old, dropped out of junior high, became a mom, married her 15-year-old boyfriend. All families consented to it, and they turned out to be pretty damn awesome, but they also lost contact with all of us. There's no high school reunion, and if we see them, we just don't know them because they're like, oh, yeah, they were the ones that dropped out of school way back a long time ago. But they spoke well, they were well-articulated, and raised some decent kids. But didn't that sound like heresy? Didn't it sound like I was trying to destroy the Catholic religion? Or sorry, the Christian religion? Excuse me. It's not what I'm trying to do. There's plenty of organizations that keep their whistle clean. What form of religion would come out of the Christian movement if you could make sure that if you're going to practice the Christian faith that you have extra eyeballs on all your personnel to make sure they're not touching the kids. One of my close friends here in Los Angeles, the preacher was doing the Biden thing. Her beautiful daughter started complaining that the preacher always grabbed her and pushed him back against his junk. And she didn't have a way to really describe it, but they finally just said, okay, well, we're going to keep an eye on you and we'll see if this happens again. And sure enough, they caught him doing it and the dude went to jail. What's up with these fuckers, man? They're easy to find. They're fucking easy to find. But that's just one category of the test. The other test that I think we're starting to pass for the very first time in a very long time is the notion of propaganda. Fake news. There are people on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNBC, Comedy Central that lie 24/7. And I mean the absolute mockingbird candidates who did their internship at the CIA. Unfucking believable. Obsessed with stories that have no backing evidence whatsoever. The big nothing burgers, and there's more than one nothing burger out there. And we allow them to get hundreds of millions of dollars a year for lying to us. Now, it's a free market, it's a free world. You know, I think that the Senate should repass the law that says that if you fucking lie on the news, it's a felony with hefty goddamn mandatory jail sentences. And not only is the broadcaster, the spokesman of the network immediately guilty of the felony, but every single person all the way up to the editor goes to jail. I think the board of directors should go to jail. So Anderson Cooper lies, having been a Mockingbird candidate in the CIA, being a fucking Vanderbilt himself. His mother's involved in one of the most satanic fucking cults on planet Earth. His brother's probably fucking sacrificed into this cult. The goddamn Pope at the time, one Pope back, wears the same fucking amulet like the current one does too, from this satanic cult. And the guy lies to the American people about something. Hands behind your back, motherfucker. This is going to be tight and this is going to hurt. And you're never going to see the light of day. You want to turn in all your buddies? Maybe. Maybe you see the light of day. But you're going to do some mandatory time, my friend. But now, what would the test sort of be? You know, what would be the end result for the test? The test, I think, is it's almost like the Super Bowl. How fucking ironic. I didn't plan this. But you have the test between evil and good. All right. Who's going to win? I don't know. Get your fucking popcorn. It's going to be awesome, right? Maybe our creators don't give a shit who wins. They just want to find out who does win. But you would think that if these evil fuckers win, it's sort of like the Klingon Empire, right? How do you get a promotion in the Klingon Empire? You have to kill your superior. That is simply the way it works. You don't get elected to take over. You kill your superior. So if you have a bunch of these evil fuckers making it through this test and being allowed to continue to prosper, then as soon as they have the ability to ascend to some celestial realm, they're going to try and kill God because that's the kind of people they are. So that's why I think that there's a simple choice. And I think that's why my particular definition of an NPC is not just some mockingbird person, but an actual simulated human being that is down here to fuck with us to see if we've got the moxie to stand up for ourselves, right? How many videos do you see where you feel good about the bully beating the shit out of the little kid? Not too many, I would imagine, unless you're a sick fuck, right? Some psychopath. But when the scrawny little kid punches the oversized fat kid who's two grades higher than him, picking on him because he hates himself, because he's allowed himself to eat too many fucking pieces of pie, and he gets leveled by some scrawny little kid. Happened in my hometown all the time. You feel this joy of God come through your system when you see the little guy take out Goliath. You do. Believe me, that is an algorithm of truth, of defending yourself against evil. Now, it's not that we necessarily want another young kid to perish or suffer some you know, permanent damage. We don't want the fat kid to die all of a sudden. We want the fat kid to learn what the hell he's doing, because he has a lesson to learn as well. And the only way he's going to listen is when he gets clocked in the chin and he passes out for 5 to 10 minutes. And he realizes that's not a way to live. And bullies always back down once they get leveled. It's just the case. Talk to anyone who's ever been bullied. They'll tell you the same thing, man. Stand up for yourself. Plus, if you're being bullied, well, you're going to feel amazing once you stick up for yourself. Just try not to break the law. You don't need to be in prison simply because someone else was being an asshole to you, right? Now, while I'm ranting on about how we should solve some of our problems, I also need to put in the narrative that there are people like George Soros and the deep state in general that are definitely trying to create civil wars all around the world. Because as long as there's civil wars, they can do a bunch of weird shit while we're not paying attention. I definitely believe that this Muslim immigration movement into Europe was to create a civil war within Europe. The funny thing was, they so cut the balls off of everybody in Europe, and too many people in Europe are willing to have their balls cut off, that, and again, the yellow vests, two thumbs up, A for the day, A plus for the day, any of those people that are fighting back, because they are the archetype of man. Someone who's like, you know what, fuck you, I'm not putting up with your Macron, Rothschild, goddamn agent being my president. Sorry. But, you know, we know that across Europe, as these Muslims have raped and murdered and destroyed cities, because they're fucking Neanderthals, right? Now, the people that stayed in the Middle East are not like these people. Let's make a distinction. But the people that are migrating in are the bottom of the barrel. That's why they're not taking any of their own immigrants, right? They're not cross-immigrating into other countries in the Middle East. They're coming straight to this Soros-sponsored invasion. But they ransack a street. And then if you take a photograph of it, you can be put in jail over there. If your daughter is raped and murdered, talking like 12-year-old kids, you can't report it to the police because they won't file your report, because Merkel, the daughter of Adolf fucking Hitler, go look that shit up. You know, Hitler and his wife retreated to Argentina. Hope that's not a big shock to you guys. He lived approximately to 1965. The wife lived about 1968. Merkel, well, she could have been born anywhere along that line. She actually changed her birthday to be her father's birthday. But her technical birthday is 1954. I will tell you, I got a mother who's 70. She looks about as old as my mom. And that would have been 1946. Doesn't matter. She could have been born in 54. But then she's raised by the Russians in East Germany, supposedly, right? And that's why she never says anything bad about Putin or the Russians, because they took care of her as a kid. Now, it's weird that two of her childhood friends are also equally raised in a peasant community in East Germany, and they're all three of them are like absolute mega successful and either running bizarre child trafficking corporations or countries. But too many Europeans are so docile, which I don't understand necessarily. I don't understand how they got that way. Nationalism, too many wars they fought between each other, too many Versailles treaties where they were like, you can't have a standing army, you can't defend yourself. Crazy shit. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't live over there. But the yellow vests are probably one of the most encouraging things I have seen since probably the protests of Vietnam that happened when I was a little kid. And it's a sad thing. I mean, you look at the protests of Vietnam. Think about it. Obviously, we don't want to disrespect soldiers that are being drafted into the military. Okay, they had no choice, people. So they're drafted. And then, you know, once they're drafted by, the deep state, because they convinced the U.S. military that there's something worth fighting for at Vietnam. Okay, it's your son, it's your brother, it's your father, and they're being sucked into this war, and they have no goddamn choice. So what do you want for them? You want them to come home safely, which means you don't want them to die. And so when they come home safely from this forced war, people were spitting on them. It's like, what the fuck, people? I know you're a hippie and, you know, you've got plenty of money to sit around in communes all fucking day, but I don't get it. Protest the war all you want. Yell at your senators for creating the draft, but don't piss on the guys and girls who had to go over and do it. And what the hell was the difference between the Korean War and the Vietnam War? People didn't come home from Korea that I know of and get spit on. Luckily, we have solved that problem, I think, for the most part. Soldiers that come home today are revered for being soldiers. Even though the theaters of war that they are forced into in Afghanistan and Iraq and various other locations that are usually kept quiet because we're not supposed to be in certain countries, we're at least treating them with respect when they get home. They're not failing the test. Our soldiers are not failing the test, especially if they come home safely. They've passed a horrible test that they shouldn't have been pulled in the first place. And we should be very thankful that anyone would join the military to defend the Constitution of the United States. But now we have to make sure, as citizens, that we also defend the Constitution of the United States. We don't allow our gun rights to be compromised. We don't allow freedom of speech to be compromised. Now, let me make a distinction of what I said earlier about newscasters going to jail for lying to the people. It's one thing to have an opinion like I have, right? You have an opinion. They're like assholes. We all have them, right? It's another thing to prop yourself up as an authoritarian of actual reality and lie about people, causing them, you know, in some cases, extreme grief. There's this thing that recently happened with a kid who had to stand in front of the fucking crisis actor, Native American, who lied about his entire military record in Vietnam. Said he went to Vietnam, but he didn't go. He was an air conditioner. No, he's a refrigerator repair guy who never went overseas. Telling the press, just kind of riding the fine line between I went to Vietnam and I didn't, but I was a Vietnam time soldier, you know. Just trying to lie. Then you have these black guys that are over there who aren't like any black guys that I know on planet fucking Earth, with some Israeli fucking alliance thing. Okay, well, hey, man, the free speech on them. But they exacerbated the situation. The white kid's just sitting there going, Jesus, you got a drum in my face? He's a child. He is a fucking child by any standard, right? He's a very young man, let's put it that way. And he's just keeping his cool. And he knows if he reacts, he's going to be in trouble. And he didn't. All the kids behind him were cool. These black guys are yelling all this fucking racist shit. Then the Native Americans and the black guys get into it. I mean, unbelievable, right? But that was their opinion to do that, and that was their freedom of speech to say all those things. Okay. But then the press got on top of it and started lying about all the events that occurred. Lying about the events that occurred. Told you things that happened that didn't happen. You can just watch the fucking video. It was a catastrophe for all the mass media, wasn't it? Because they all had to run around deleting a lot of tweets. But, you know, what is it? BuzzFeed didn't retract it. CNN didn't retract it. And we're sitting there on the sidelines going, all right, we do our research. We find out this is all bullshit. And we dislike those fucking mockingbird shills for what they are. But, you know, a good majority, way over 51% of this country, believe everything that they were told. I keep people in my life that believe everything that they're told because I want to find out how bad it is, right? It's pretty fucking bad. It is pretty bad, man. So are we passing this test? I don't know. I would say the people that are following QAnon, and again, I'm going to say this over and over and over and over, even if he's a live action role-playing exercise, Even if he's some weird psyop, you know, everyone could be deceived into some light. And then the door is shut, the lights turn off, and it goes dark. So everyone could be pipered into something really negative. I would say that the checksum for QAnon being real, at least in his intent, is he's waking up the minds of tens of millions of people on this planet, which is still a minority, right? Again, 500 million, that's like a little over 1% of the population. So even if he had 500 million people, he's only got 1% of the population. But there's an interesting thing that the Western world controls the benefits of the third world countries. And so if you can just convince Western worlds to wake the fuck up, put on a yellow vest, and change the world, or however you can do it in your region, then that is not something I think that any deep state official would ever want to have happen. There's not a real case for the faux awakening of mankind, because Q wakes you up to everything. The pedophilia, the banking, the manipulation of resources in countries to take them over, the whole point of the book, Economic Hitman, right? The Economic Hitman book. Unbelievable. I made an episode that I pulled because I think the evidence of what I was trying to make a point of dwindled considerably, which is why I made it a special report in the first place. But it was called the QAnon Moment, which is, what if the QAnon guy dropped the video that is rumored to be out there of Hillary Clinton and Uba Abedin raping and killing a small girl on Lolita Island, owned by Jeffrey Epstein, who again just got away with fucking highway murder when it comes to human trafficking, because he's got everyone by the balls, because he has a bunch of fucking videotapes of everybody raping everybody. And we allowed it to happen. Q doesn't want to allow it to happen. Donald Trump doesn't want to allow it to happen, but there's going to have to be a big takedown before this guy sees any justice. But again, like I said in the karma episode, if Jeffrey Epstein died today of some mild heart attack or even a severe heart attack or got electrocuted or lethal injection, he will have lived 95% of his entire life exactly to his demonic fucking desires. And whatever we do to that guy from this point on, it will never serve any justice to him whatsoever. These people get away with highway murder. So usually in the conversation, where it looks like humanity has to take a stand, otherwise humanity won't exist anymore, there is the question of, okay, yes, we all agree we need to make some changes. How do we make these changes? Do we get militant? Do we simply vote? I think the number one thing we can do at this point is to solidify the definition of a Democrat. An individual that endorses people that are known for killing, raping, child trafficking, pay-to-play organizations like the Clinton Foundation, people who sell our uranium to the enemy, people who sell the launch codes and all of our secret communications methodologies to the enemy. People who don't really have Harvard degrees because a prince in Saudi Arabia got your degree purchased for you. People with fake birth certificates. People with fake war records like John McCain, who were complete goddamn traitors. People like John Kerry that run around trying to keep horrible Iranian deals going when it undermines the absolute strength of the United States of America and the rest of the world. Poor Vince Foster, who shot in the back of the head, rolled up in a carpet and found in some park, and his death was ruled a suicide. So all the cops that are involved in that, the coroners that do that stuff, people organize false flags, school shootings that really kill people, all those people. Let's define them all as Democrats and move them all into the same camp. They believe that they have essentially a satanic rule over mankind, and that they don't have any need for empathy whatsoever. It is their ilk against our ilk. But just like the movie Bug's Life from Pixar, they're just a few asshole grasshoppers, and there's a whole shit ton of us ants. I would like to wager we're the grasshoppers, they're the ants, but they put on masks and they've indoctrinated us to not understand that we're all equally capable of kicking ass and taking names. The weirdest thing is that because we're good people, because we care about other people, we're empathetic towards other people's suffering, is it that God wants us to turn the cheek and take it? Well, for those of you who believe Christianity and a lot of other religions, God has been a wrathful being many times. So I find it interesting that people that believe that God would have a guy threaten to kill his son, you know, put a fucking dagger right up to his goddamn throat, and the guy goes, just kidding. Or when Moses comes down off the hill with his tablets and says, this is your last chance, motherfuckers. Get off that golden calf over there, otherwise shit's gonna go down. And they're like, fuck you, man. And all this lightning comes down, boom, and everybody dies. Well, it seems that God doesn't play games, does he? I'm not sure that's God, but isn't it absolutely, positively easy to confirm that Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and all the people that support them and get on their bandwagon are all fucking criminals that work for the deep state? Is it not completely obvious? A big chunk of California just vaporized. There is, I think, proof positive that some sort of weapon was used to do it. You've got neighborhoods that just, the houses are white ash, but there's still trees in the front yard that are green. There was one where there was a road that went way out to a house, and it burned straight to the ground, but all the trees around that house, all the way back down the road, are fine. No burn marks at all. So how the hell did the house burn down? Either that guy engaged in the worst idea of insurance fraud, or someone hit his house with some goddamn weapon, set it on fire. Just so happens all the houses that burned down really coincide with where they want to put the high-speed rail. I don't know if this next thing I'm about to say is true, but I've heard from land developers up in Santa Rosa and, Calistoga, that Governor Jerry Brown is involved in the land development organizations that just seem to move in to buy the land every time there's a big fire up there. Jerry Brown was also linked to a weapons factory. It was a chemical weapons factory in Syria that was bombed when they did the fake gas attack, which was fake. It was orchestrated to justify, 111 Tomahawk missiles going into Syria and bombing all these strategic targets, none of which were Russian. Very few Syrian soldiers were hurt. This is per their own press. But Trump wanted to get rid of some strategic targets that were part of the deep state organization, and he did it. Are we passing the test? Do we understand what the test is? Do we understand the severity of the test? How important it is at this point to start making distinctions? Imagine a video of just the stuff we know about. Biden grabbing kids' boobs, rubbing his junk up against girls, and the next frame says, this is a Democrat. Play De Niro saying he'd take Trump around the back and punch him in the face or whatever. Biden said it too. And then play the spirit cooking lady dumping pig's blood all over an idol and writing up on the wall that if you must slice the back of your left finger and left middle finger and eat the pain, and then show De Niro at dinner with the spirit cooking lady. Show Obama with this little tiny girl with a band-aid on the middle finger of his left hand. Show John Podesta holding up his hands like this with some Masonic shit in his palms with a band-aid on his left middle finger. Show John Podesta, allegedly, torturing a kid in a shower with a bunch of fucking glow lights, making him scream his nickname, Skippy. Then play the interview with Tony Podesta saying, you know, when John was a kid, we used to call him Skippy. These are your Democrats. This is a Democrat, right? I never would have ever thought that we would have it all aligned on one party side in my lifetime. I thought it would always be both sides, right? Was it Lindsey Graham, the senator? potentially was on the inside helping out all these deep staters, and eventually Trump got to him and said, either you flip and become an ally or you're fucked. And when John McCain died at the funeral, you have the two generals that kept their eye on Lindsey Graham while he was hugging Uma Abedin, right? The woman from the fucking Arab Brotherhood who got top security clearance in 1996 because of the Clintons, with no background check whatsoever. And if you haven't read the website for the Arab Brotherhood, you need to go look that up, because it's world domination by absolutely destroying everyone else's religion but Sharia law. But he hugged her a couple times, and then he looked really fucking nervous at the funeral. And then the general looked over and went like this with his finger, like, we got your number, motherfucker. We're going to have a little meeting tonight. And then eventually Lindsey went over and talked to one of them. And the next day, I believe it was the very next day during the Kavanaugh hearings, Lindsey Graham said, Mr. Kavanaugh, could you please explain to us how a civilian could be tried in a military tribunal, since it's reserved for military personnel only? And they cited the case from, I believe, the Nuremberg trials, where civilians who colluded with the enemy were actually able to be tried in military tribunals. Case law right in front of everyone's face, right? Lindsey was on the other side the very next day at Bush Sr.'s funeral, December 5th. Supposedly there was some really damning testimony going on in the Senate, and then they dropped Sr.'s body. And I've never seen Jeb so fucking happy than at his dad's funeral, laughing up a storm, right? Until as soon as this casket went by the camera, this secret agent, bald guy, behind George Bush Jr. started passing out all these pieces of paper, really thick pieces of paper. And everybody thought it was just a piece of paper regarding the funeral. You know, here's your program for the funeral. But you know how that works. When you walk into a church, you get the program at the door jam. You don't get it inside the goddamn ceremony, especially when the casket's being passed out. There's a video of Laura Bush seeming very disturbed in a cry state, which you would assume because it's a funeral. George Bush Jr. is standing up to his dad's casket. Again, his dad could be alive, his dad could be dead before the 5th, and they just rolled that body out right on top of this moment where this Senate testimony was going to occur. I don't know if that aborted the testimony or if that covered it up. But you see Laura Bush, and she's reading this thing, and she's disgusted. And Jeb is looking at his brother, and he's got this really happy face. Until Laura goes, look. And he looks down at it. And within a split second, this is what's strange, he didn't have enough time to really read anything. He looks over at someone else in the distance with this face of like, oh my God, come on, you didn't do this at my dad's funeral. He's like, well shit, you were just fucking happy as a clam 2 seconds ago. And everyone's looking at this mysterious envelope. Hillary Clinton and Bill got theirs. Barack Obama and Michael Obama got theirs. The Bush family got theirs. Now, Melania's also holding a piece of paper, but she ain't looking at hers. Everyone got served, potentially. So who knows what's going on, right? But now imagine that you have grown-ups coming to the White House cleaning up the mess. The NSA is not your enemy. They're actually your defender. The military isn't your enemy. They're actually your defender. For the first time in a really long time, these generals got fucking sick and tired of this crap. And again, the way I see it is that the story's come out too many times. This archetype of a story has repeated itself over and over and over again, which is that the NSA started spying on the world in right after 9/11, right? And I think they started bumping into the child trafficking shit. And I think that they got utterly mortified by what was going on. It was a lot more severe than they thought. And I've met some of these guys. Again, they're sweethearts. They absolutely fight for their country. They believe in the Constitution. And they went, this is bad. This is really bad. Let's start an investigation to figure out how far this rabbit hole goes, right? And I think they found that it was everywhere. And it was in the politicians that tell them what to do. they control their budgets. And I think that they got real quiet, right? It's my personal belief that the day that the White House dropped the fake birth certificate of Obama, which we've now confirmed is someone else's birth certificate, he and the Italian forensics team figured it out. They found the original and confirmed that 76% of the pixels were identical to this other guy's birth certificate. Trump was going after the birther issue, trying to knock out Obama, and I think someone just whispered in his ear, chill out, dude. We got a much bigger purpose for you. You know how you said you'd run for president if things got really shitty? Well, we're going to get you in. And we're going to get you in because you stand for what's right. People also stand for what's right. And we're simply going to protect the vote for the very first time in a long time. Now, we know that voter fraud is still going on like crazy. And the crazy thing is, every single fucking time we find votes that have been cast by dead people, illegal immigrants, every single time they're Democrat votes. So what do you think, that's the Republican Party doing that shit? The real party is in the direct center. Again, when I go back to the Midwest, I don't hear any radical right-wing ideas. Right? Again, like I've said, in my entire life in my hometown, there were two people I met, which was the son of the vice principal of our junior high. I guess he was confiding in me in front of a couple other people at a Pizza Hut on Cherry Street, which is now a something else. That maybe it still is, I don't know. But he talked about the blacks and how they were going to invade the country or whatever. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Is this what your father taught you? Because they're already here and they helped build the country, you idiot. And then my cousin's wife's father said the same shit. Blacks invading America. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Invading, what are their new boats coming over from Africa? You dipshit. Fucking racist. No one else in my family, none of my other friends have ever said anything like that ever. Now, if we all told a bunch of racist jokes, yeah, but let me tell you, big fucking spoiler, Polak jokes were the number one jokes when I was a kid. Second to, no, that was the first. The second was the Ethiopian jokes, which went around when I was a kid. But all the racist jokes from, like, way back in the 30s and 40s, eh. No, you might find an old guy saying that, but he's sitting right next to a black guy or he's telling a white joke, you know, it's just, we're all buddies. We're all like Richard Pryor disciples that are just like, hey, we're just having fun, blowing off steam. We know that we're different, and this is the way we get to know each other and laugh about it, right? But no one is ceasing to help their friend because of a skin color, right? Stupid. But that's no longer the way it is anymore. We've cleaned it up. I think one guy that I haven't done an episode on, and I don't think I could probably do a full episode on the guy, but I want to throw out some props, is Julian Assange. Julian Assange is probably one of the single biggest heroes, including his team, of course, for getting Trump into office and to expose a ton of the deep state and, coincidentally again, in the Democratic Party. Remember, Mexicans were taco truck voters? The amount of slurs against blacks are countless. Candace Owens is unshackling, as she would metaphorically put it, the blacks from the Democratic Party. She's saying, look, they're exploiting you and they've always been exploiting you, / us. She's one of the most brilliant women on planet Earth. She just happens to be black, which is awesome. So she can get people to listen to her. You know, she's like, I'm one of you. Look, we've been completely duped by this thing. The Democrats voted against abolishing slavery. They founded the fucking KKK. But you'll hear that bullshit on Facebook by some ignorant hillbillies who still believe the Democratic Party is the party for the minorities. What a fucking joke. I think the number one thing that we need to do to start passing the test is starting to wake the fuck up. To start calling it like it is. And stop worrying about some goddamn useless social justice warrior who is unemployable, contributing nothing to society, draining the coffers of all, you know, socialistic programs, trying to make the world more socialistic. So again, rich people have all their money stolen. And again, there's some rich scumbags. Yeah, I get it. But what if you personally make a ton of money and someone says, I need your money to pay my bills? Again, that's the old phrase, right? Socialism only works until you run out of other people's money. And that's the truth. We are nowhere near Gene Roddenberry's vision of the future. That's where we need to go. But we're nowhere near that right now. So we need to stop pretending that that's where we are. I just watched a great, there's a great channel on YouTube called Simplified. And it's about history. This guy does these cartoon versions of history. And again, a lot of his history is the official history. So some of you will gag with some of it. But he just covered the, in fact, it was a slight, he covered it too, but there's a different channel too. It's very similar to him. These cartoon history channels. One of them is called Extra History, I think is what it's called. And he did one on the Opium Wars of China, where Britain and the Honorable Eastern Indian Company forced opium into China because they had a huge trade deficit with China when they tried to buy the black tea from China. And eventually China was like, hey, you guys are really, you know, engaging in a bunch of weird behavior in our docks, and so we want this to end. But, you know, Britain used its soldiers and its Indian mercenaries to go in and destroy China until the emperor conceded, importing tons of opium that's grown in India at the time to get the whole country strung out on this stuff. And so eventually China got everything under control, but I believe it's called something like the Unequal Treaty, something like that. It's still in the psyche of Chinese people today that Whitey engages in horrible trade agreements. They lie, they renege on their agreements. And so now when we try to deal with them in the modern world, they still hold on to that old period, and they hold on to America like they hold on to England, even though the entire dream and idea of America is to break free from the monarchy of Europe that caused the problem in the first place. But the reason why we have some subconscious problems dealing with Chinese is because the Britons invaded China and really racked their brains for what white people do. Someone didn't have a moral fiber to stop those wars in the first place. In fact, a lot of people that were dignitaries from China, from England, actually had a moral fiber and were fired because they tried to end the war and end the bloodshed. You know, history repeating itself is one of the biggest diseases man has. Your average Democrat does not research a single fucking thing. But when they talk to you, they talk to you as if they're absolute authorities on things. The press is pre-censored, like Rod Serling said. I'm going to say this a million times this episode. I mean, this season, right? Go watch the 1959 interview with Rod Serling just before the Twilight Zone aired. And he talked about pre-censorship. He said they're finding people like Rachel Maddow, who believes everything she's fucking told, repeats it on the news as official history, as official current events, and she's lying through her fucking teeth. Obsessed with this nothing burger that is the Russian collusion story. She's pre-censored to think that Republicans wouldn't let her be gay. And so in her mind, I believe, she believes that if she lets Republicans gain the Supreme Court positions and the Ninth District positions and the border positions for the judges that are dealing with illegal fucking immigration, illegal immigration, let's say it again, that the whole world will come to an end. Again, I live in a Republican county that is packed with LGBT people. I don't see gays being pulled into the street and beaten alive. Quite the opposite, right? They're everywhere. And everyone's okay, right? But the lies construct fears, which motivate people to act a particular way. But it's all based on what? Lies, right? We need to start passing the test. We need to start standing up for what is unequivocally right, which is do no harm to other people. Again, any people that you think are bad, are they doing you harm? Well, if they are, we got to push back until they do no harm. right? Illegal immigration does harm. It does. It takes away jobs from people here in this country. We can solve for that problem. We need to figure out where they can work and where we can work, and then invite them into those positions legally. We need to speed up immigration. We need to probably increase the number of people that we bring in legally. We need to build our fucking wall, okay? Just like all the Democrats and celebrities have around their houses, right? We subsidize walls all over the world, especially in Israel. Go ask Israel if their wall works. It works. It works everywhere, right? But as I said in my border episode, it's not to hurt illegal immigrants. It's to cut off the drug trade. Cutting off the slush fund that these deep staters use to do all their nasty work. But I have found friends of mine that are trying to do good. And they devote their whole life to it. And they put their reputation on the line. In fact, some people are very famous people. Put in their, you know, they got their skin in the game as deep as you can put it in the game. And so I think that normal citizens, and this is happening all the time, right? The YouTube channels out there that are for truth are the most popular channels on YouTube. And of course, YouTube, being a deep state organization, is trying to censor them. I think we've seen in history several times this methodology that works really, really well, which is we lose track of what evil is. Because evil is always trying to disguise itself as a sheep, right? The wolf tries to put on the sheep's clothing constantly. And they try to go for your heartstrings, and they try to attach truth to lies. They try to attach agendas to lies. They try to attach prosperity to demise. And we need to start parsing this. And it's starting to occur, right? People were utterly horrified at this 9-month abortion thing that went through our country a couple weeks ago. And that's fantastic that they had this uprising. And to think that people would still side with the Democratic Party after such a thing would be remotely considered is fucking beyond me, right? You're way beyond birth control at 9 months, in my opinion. Sorry, folks, that's just my opinion. The fact that we have preemie babies that are born at 6 months that grow up to be perfectly healthy humans should be a good sign as to what you're actually doing there. You're killing a human being. Like a fucking totally sentient being that is starting to have dreams, that's starting to kick, you know? That stuff happens really early in the process. And there's people waiting to adopt children all over the world who are good parents. All right, so you don't want to have the kid, fine. You want to make a cool 50 grand? Have the child safely and make 50 grand. And that's a small price. Usually it's way higher than that. I think it was $55,000 in the year 2000 when one of my employees was trying to adopt a child. All right. You don't want the burden of having the child? Fine. You don't want to hurt your junk down there? Get a C-section. There are solutions. Sorry you're in that problem. But there are solutions that don't have to include the death of a person. The idea that if a pregnant woman gets killed in a car accident due to a drunk driver, the drunk driver is not only charged for the death of the mother, but the unborn child. Okay, so we're acknowledging as a society, in the modern form of fucking intelligent thinking, that that baby actually is a sentient being that deserves another charge. Oh, but as long as the doctor's got a fucking, command from the mother to kill the child, it goes into this 2-hour procedure of cutting the kid up and handing over all the parts to these adrenochrome freakazoids, right? We have so many double-speak situations in this world. For instance, if a person solicits sex from a prostitute in America, and I think most of the states in this union, then it's a jailable offense, right? You've solicited prostitution. But as long as you hire a person to have sex with you and you have a video camera, now it's called porn and it's completely legal. You did a drug test on everyone in the room. Half these people are fucking strung out on meth or coke or something else, heroin. They're being manipulated by drugs to give up sex for their next hit. Doesn't that sound like a bunch of shit to you? We need to start passing this test, you know? And it's going to be communication and education. We have to go for the people in this world that are most likely to listen. And they will continue spreading it. And again, all the sheep in the world, what is their whole method of life. Their MO is be on the winning team, regardless if Satan is the fucking captain of the team or God is the captain of the team. They're just docile, ignorant human beings. And I say ignorant very specifically. Most people haven't heard the truth about a lot of things, or they haven't heard it in a way that they can digest it. They'll hear that 9/11 was an inside job, but they didn't take physics in high school, right? Hopefully this show is helping you guys figure out where we can make some change, right? And again, you guys are brilliant on your own, which is beautiful. So you have methods of communicating that are far more accessible than my methods of communicating. My methods appeal to you guys that just want to hear it raw. Rated R for real, right? One of our listeners put one of those up, a picture that said that in our Facebook feed. And what's funny about that is I have artwork on my computer from 3 years ago, probably even 4 years ago when I was doing MKUltra Radio, and I was going to bumper every one of our episodes with that plate, but I decided not to do it because it was going to add more editing for the podcast side of things. Because it'd be a big dead spot in the podcast that I'd have to manually cut off every single time I make an episode, so I didn't do it. What I really want to galvanize you guys with at the end of this episode is that this is now a charter for any of you that care. We have to start passing this test, which means we have to start taking verbal action to educate folks on the craziness of the whole thing. Again, probably one of the best things that you can repeat for people to hear to get them out of this psychosis, out of this hypnotic fucking satanistic world that we're in, is to say, look, the Catholic Church is the single most guilty organization, organized organization with attorneys and fucking trillions of dollars sitting in the basement of the Vatican to perpetuate human trafficking, child molestation around the world. The case study, I mean, Jesus Christ, if I had my own little company out here and I had all the employees of my company globally doing what the Catholic Church did, you would lynch me and the company. You're the biggest pedophile fucking runner on planet Earth, is what you'd say. But for whatever reason, because Jesus is on top of this fake organization that's anything for Jesus, right? Go look up the Viper Room in the basement of the Vatican. That'll blow your fucking mind. It's being run by the darkest forces that we have allowed to manifest on this planet. I think it's time to make a change, folks. It's time to call it out for what it is. If you're a Catholic, go find another church. Go find another church and then look up the history of that particular church. Find a little tiny building in your town that just has a group of people. They're not affiliated with any other national chain. They just have their own donation plate. They've built a building. They worship Christ. That is their belief system. They don't violate any of that. Is anyone perfect? No, of course not. But overall, everyone's at least trying and they're not crossing those thresholds of absolute satanistic behavior. Anyway, I know you feel me. Hopefully this episode is a little invigorating for you. I know we all live for this stuff. I'm losing my light, so I better get out of the garage. It rained a little bit. I think it's going to rain a little bit more for the next 3 or 4 days here. If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. It's where you can change the feeds from audio to video. There's a locked Facebook group and a Patreon page. There's also a Twitter feed now. Take care of yourself and someone else in this crazy world, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.